Welcome to Just a Minute. Is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it's my huge pleasure to welcome our many listeners throughout the world, but also to welcome to the program four intelligent, talented players of the game, and they are seated on my right, one of the stalwart players of the show, that outstanding comedian Paul Merton, and seated beside him we have our veteran player of the game, that's Clement Freud, and seated on my left we have another fine comedian who's quite a regular, the player, a comedian and a writer as well, that is Tony Hawkes. And sitting beside him, someone who's never played the game before, a virgin of just a minute. He's got the sympathy already. And it's a pleasure to welcome Dave Gorman. Would you please welcome all four of them? Beside me sits Trudy Stevens, who's going to help me keep the score, and she'll blow the whistle when the 60 seconds have elapsed. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the recently refurbished radio theatre in the heart of Broadcasting House. And we have a magnificent audience in front of us. We'll start the show with Paul Merton. Paul, the subject is Radio Times, how apt for the new refurbished radio theatre. Would you talk on that subject? 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
I would like to apologise, first of all, for the late running of this radio recording. That is because I left my keys in a black cab, and we phoned the driver and he's got them, but he also asked for my address, so I've got a feeling that by the time the show is over, there'll be nothing left when I get home. This building has seen some remarkable radio shows over the years. It's That Man Again, starring Tommy Handley, was produced here in the 1940s with the royal attendance of King George and the woman he married, Queen Mary, probably. Or was she a boat?
Right, and Clement, you've challenged.
Definitely.
Definitely, not probably.
It was very dark, you might not have brought her. Might not have been her.
So, what are you challenging on within the rules of Just a Minute?
Not hesitation. No. What are the other?
Possible deviation.
Devolution.
Devolution, no. Inaccuracy, but... I don't think he was, strictly speaking, deviating from the subject. He said possibly married to her, and she was married. So, Paul, you carry on, and you've got 35 seconds starting now.
The Radio Times is an august publication, but it also comes out during the other 11 months of the year as well. It was first produced in 1932, and the cover star was a young...
That is... Tony, you've challenged.
Repetition of 19.
Yes, you had 19 before, yes. Well, listen, Tony, so you're going to talk about Radio Times. You have 26 seconds available, and your time starts now.
I've always thought it's entirely wrong that they put the TV listings in the Radio Times. It's not right. It's the same as when you go to radio rentals. You can't rent one of those in there. This is the sort of thing that goes on in this country, and it must stop. And if an august publication like the Radio Times can't get it right, honestly, where and how are we going to do this? Now, having said all...
Paul, I think it was your light. What is your challenge?
I think Tony has sort of rather wandered off the subject, and even by the bemused look on his face, he no longer believed what he was saying.
He had a bemused look on his face.
Did he?
I should explain that to because I know you're
not listening.
Yes, but he didn't actually deviate from the subject of Radio Times. So you have an incorrect challenge. You get a point for that, of course, Tony. You keep the subject. You've got 3 seconds available, starting now.
There's nothing I like more of an evening than the go-home.
Wait a minute. Clement has challenged.
Repetition of nothing.
Nothing?
Yeah, he said nothing before.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
There's nothing. Clement, you've cleverly got in with 1 second to go. 1 second, Clement, on Radio Times starting now.
I used to write.
Dave Gorman, you've challenged.
I just wanted to see that my microphone worked, that my buzzer worked. I wanted to say something during the first game.
And you've said it. We'll give you a bonus point for that. Because the audience enjoyed hearing from you, and thank you for establishing your presence. Well done. Clement, you've got half a second on Radio Times starting now.
Radio Times.
In this game, whoever is speaking as the whistle goes gains an extra point. On this occasion, it was, of course, Clement Freud. And he gets one because he was interrupted there, so it's 3. Yes, he's in a lead, a strong lead. He had 3 points. Who cares about the points? Tony Hawkes is second in the other two. Clement! Will you take the next round, or at least start the next round? The subject now is the wrong note. Will you tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now?
It is quite difficult for me to talk about the wrong note, because I'm tone dumb, in view of which, and because so many people have had a rotten time because of the weather, let us have a one-minute silence.
When? We started it.
It started, yes. It started. But Tony couldn't resist it. You challenged Tony.
Repetition of because.
Oh, well done. So you respected the one-minute silence, but you couldn't get a repetition go by. Tony, correct challenge. 46 seconds are available. Tell us something about the wrong note starting now.
Don't give someone a fiver if you owe them a tenner, because you will be giving them the wrong note.
Paul, your challenge, yes.
Yes, well, it's not necessarily the wrong note. You could be paying off 50% of your debt. They're not going to turn it down, are they? It's not the wrong note, it's a contributory note, but it's not a wrong note. It's not like a doctor's note. Here's that 10 quid a year. Look, here's a, you know, take that to the chemist and get a bottle of medicine for it. It's not that sort of note, is it?
No, I think actually we're being given the wrong note, because it should have been a tenner and not a fiver.
Really?
Yes. So I think logically, probably, Tony is correct.
All right, then.
So you have the benefit of the doubt, Tony, and you have 39 seconds still on the wrong note starting now.
If you are a singer, it's advisable to try and get the right note, because the audience will be pleased by...
And Paul's challenge
again. Well, deviation, he's talking about the right note now, and, of course, he should be talking about the wrong note.
I gave the benefit of the doubt to Tony that time, and you shall have it this time, Paul. You have the subject, the wrong note, 34 seconds, starting now.
A friend of mine committed suicide, but he left his shopping list as a suicide note. It was very confusing. His last words were £3 of potatoes.
Dave, you challenged.
I think repetition of suicide.
Yeah.
Yes, probably.
Yes.
He committed suicide and left a suicide note.
Yes.
And well done. Well, yes. Listen, Dave, you've got in the subject now. And you have the suicide... No, you have the wrong note. And you have 29 seconds, Dave, starting now.
Doe, a deer, a female one. Ray, a drop of signing shun.
Paul challenge.
Signing shun. This is a Chinese influence that's creeping into the programme.
Yeah, he signs for the Chinese deaf.
Ah, I withdraw my challenge.
I thought you were going to have a deviation from English as we understand it, but you've handed it back to Dave. You can continue, Dave. You have 24 seconds, the wrong note, starting now.
Once when I was at school, I asked my mother to give me a note to get me out of physical education. Later that day, when I got to the phys ed class, I handed the note to the teacher, and I think my mother had given him the...
Clement... You've got the audience with you, Dave. But Clement, you challenge.
Two mothers.
Two mothers, yes. One mother, yes, is sufficient.
I have got two mothers.
13 seconds, Clement, the wrong note starting now.
If you go to a Chinese laundry with the wrong note, you're very likely to receive somebody else's washing, which has never, to my mind, been a satisfactory way of looking after your wardrobe.
Clement Freud was then speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point, and in the situation of points overall, he's just increased his lead. He's one ahead of Tony Hawks, two ahead of Dave Gorman, and three ahead of Paul Merton. Dave, would you take or begin the next round? Rhyme or reason? 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
Rhyme or reason, a terrible choice for any poet to have to make. The two words, rhyme and reason, are normally parceled together when someone wishes to denote the absence of the two of them. Something is said to contain neither rhyme nor reason, when it not only...
Tony challenged.
Was there a repetition of two in there?
Yes, there was, I'm afraid.
I'm hot on numbers tonight. Yeah.
So, Tony, correct challenge, 46 seconds. Tell us something about rhyme or reason, starting now.
I think it was Shakespeare first popularised this expression in one of his plays. Can't remember which, doesn't matter. Quite boring information anyway. But rhyme or reason is a motivation for doing something. People will often say, what is your rhyme or reason for appearing on Just a Minute? I tell them the money. Huge amounts of it come our way as a result of performing on this show, let me tell you. However, if I tell you too much...
Paul Challenge.
Two tails.
Two tails, yes.
A tail.
And I'm surprised someone didn't have you for deviation for the amount of money we get on the show.
Obviously, it's only you, Nicholas, on the poor money.
I'm a good foil for them. Give them a bonus point because they enjoyed his remark. Tony, Paul, you have a correct challenge. You get a point for that. You have 22 seconds to tell us something about rhyme or reason, starting now.
If you were a detective at Scotland Yard, which method would you employ to solve your toughest cases? Would it be rhyme or reason? The victim was in the car park just after dark.
Tony, you've challenged.
He's hit the wrong note.
Absolutely right, Tony, but it wasn't this subject, was it? So, as the audience enjoyed your interruption, we give you a bonus point for that. But Paul was interrupted, so he gets a point for that. He keeps the subject, and there are 8 seconds still available, Paul. Rhyme or reason, starting now.
I'm so thrilled there are 8 seconds left on this subject because it brings me to a point where I must address the very serious issues. Oh, you!
And Tony challenged again.
Well, I think that's deviation. I think he's clearly padded out the entire 8 seconds by not discussing the subject in question, by just talking about the amount of time that he has to talk about it.
Oh, I think it's a rather devious challenge, actually. No, listen,
audience.
There's 3 people agree with you. And you only two of them round foot.
You go around a bit. No, I think you could have had him for hesitation, but it's too late now.
Yeah, could have done.
Yes.
As you say, Neil.
That's what I would have gone for myself.
Yes, but no, I think, Paul, you have the benefit of the doubt with 1/2 a second on rhyme or reason, starting now.
Rhyme or...
Paul Merton speaking as the whistle went with other points in the round has moved forward. He's now equal with Tony Hawkes, who are 1 ahead of Clement Freud and then Dave Gorman. And Tony, will you begin the next round? The subject, well, it's a very musical show, this, isn't it? Rock and roll. Will you tell us something about rock and roll? You should know a bit about that. You know, it was in sort of your group, wasn't it? Something Major and the Minors.
Morris Minor and the Majors.
Morris Minor and the Majors. Right.
It's the same 3 people clapping again. Going on. That's the Majors.
Yeah, we didn't do that much rock and roll, it has to be said.
What was it then?
Well, is this going to count towards my 60 seconds?
Oh! I'm sorry, yes. Well, Morris Minor and the Majors. You have rock and roll, and you have a minute, of course, starting now.
Well, it's 1 for the money, 2 for the show, 3 to get ready. I would go on, but I don't want to hit the wrong note and upset anybody. Rock and roll, of course, is a marvellous idea invented by I don't know who some time ago. And 4 beats to the bar, you can't go into a discotheque without hearing some rock and roll, and particularly at weddings. Very popular there, I've noticed. I actually have played rock and roll with a band called Morris Minor and the Majors, who go back some time ago. And in spite of the fact that the...
Paul, what was your challenge?
Well, it was the assertion that if you can go into it, you can go into a disco at any time and hear rock and roll, and I was going to say not when they're closed.
Yeah, but I think you're speaking colloquially. I mean, you mean that when you go into a disco, you wouldn't try and get into a disco which was shut. You'd only go into a disco that was open, wouldn't you?
Well, you could be a burglar with a sense of rhythm.
And then you could go even further and say somebody might have left the player on, it was still playing rock and roll.
The player? What, the thing that you wind up that's got the dog looking in the big loudspeaker?
That's right, the old loudspeaker, the player. Oh, this dates me, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Tony, I think you should have the benefit of the doubt. I think you're speaking colloquially, going into a disco and you would hear your rock and roll.
Yeah.
21 seconds, still
not
available.
The player was still going.
Well, if you have something playing, I mean, if it's not a record player, what is it then?
iPod?
21 seconds, Tony, rock and roll with you starting now.
Just let me hear some of that rock and roll music. The Beatles covered that song, and what a fine beat group they were. They certainly weren't ashamed of playing.
And Clement Challenge.
I think 2 theys with
anyone. Yes, there were too many theys. They were, and they did that. Right. Clement, you've got in with 12 seconds on rock and roll, starting now.
I think a smoked streaky bacon roll is one of my very favourites. Although the rock, as long as it comes from Brighton.
Paul, you've challenged.
Could I challenge him? Hesitation. For repeatedly looking at me. No.
Clement, I think we had to put up with whatever we're given in this particular show, and so you did hesitate. Paul, the benefit of the doubt. And you have the subject with 3 seconds on rock and roll starting now.
Since my people left me, I found a new place to dwell.
So Paul Merton was again speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point, has increased his lead. He's just ahead of Tony Hawk, Stemmett Freud, Dave Gorman, in that order. And Paul, will you begin the next round? The subject is Even the Odds. 60 seconds on that subject, starting now.
Even the odds, I suppose this is a phrase that indicates you should do your best to level the situation. Try and make it 50-50 if you can. Because when the odds are against you, there's nothing you can do but make sure that you restore the balance. When the captain of the Titanic heard there was an iceberg in his way, he didn't panic, no, he drowned. And that's the sort of thing that we British are brilliant at. Show me a hero and I will demonstrate a man who went to public school. The finest educational system this country's ever come up with. When we look at the...
And, Clement challenged.
Bollocks.
Was that the school motto?
I think whatever happens, Clement, I give you a bonus point for bollocks.
He gets a bonus point for saying bollocks.
Well, look at the reaction it got.
Oh, fair enough.
I suppose in this show, yes, because we don't usually say it in this show.
No.
It's much more circumspect in our
yeah,
language.
Yeah, much more so.
But what was your challenge within the rules of Just a Minute, Clement?
Well, yeah.
I thought public schools giving the finest education. I mean...
Well, it's debatable. It's some people think they do and others think they don't.
That's
so
why...
So it's a very difficult decision to make.
That's why I buzzed. Because it's debatable.
And you went to one yourself, so...
He gave it as a factual statement. Mm. And as you've just said, it's debatable.
I don't think you can say that that they are bollocks, the public schools. So, and this is not prejudice, because whether you agree with the state system or not, the private system does give a good education. So, Paul, you have the benefit of the doubt. And you have 27 seconds starting now.
I went to St. Paul's, which is, of course, Cockney rhyming slang. And what a wonderful institution it was. I can remember walking across the quadrangle with my mortarboard.
And Tony challenged.
I think we've got off the subject a bit, haven't we? Even the odds, we seem to be on education.
We do indeed.
Oh, so... I completely forgot what the subject was.
It can happen. So, Tony, a correct challenge.
That's deviation. Comprehensive education for you.
19 seconds available. Even the odds starting now.
There are a lot of odd people around, and I call them the odds. And even the odds are nice people to spend time with if you want to.
Clement, you challenged.
Repetition of people.
Clement, a correct challenge. You have 12 seconds on even the odds starting now.
Even the odds against being able to send your children to a private school are getting longer and increasingly long. It is a sad thing because there are many who believe...
Dave challenged.
Getting longer and increasingly long is deviation. I mean, it's the same thing, isn't
it? Language.
Bollocks.
No, Dave, I see your logic, but within the rules of Just a Minute, it's language we were concerned with, and he wasn't deviating.
But if something's getting long and increasingly longer...
Mm-hmm. No, it was the other way around.
Longer.
OK. If something is getting longer and also increasingly long, it implies the two are separate things. And they're not, they're the same thing.
Well, he was emphasising that fact, as far as I was concerned.
I'm only saying it's debatable.
I'm afraid we haven't got time for debate, so just a minute. So I have to make a quick decision, and this is a rather slow decision. But, Clement, benefit of the doubt, you have 2 seconds still available. Even the odds, starting now.
Even the odds means that if you get exactly what you...
Clement Freud was then speaking as the whistle went, and with other points in the round, he has taken the lead, 1 ahead of Paul Merton, 2 ahead of Tony Hawkes, and a few ahead of Dave Gorman. And Clement, it's actually back with you to begin, so the subject now is very apt for you, high office. Will you tell us something about high office in just a minute, starting now?
There are idiots who go to work and come in and say, high office, good morning, desk. Hello, secretary. What are you going to do about it, doorman? Goodbye, lift. I don't believe... that that sort of language is remotely apposite for those who hold high office, which means...
Tony Chung. Tony, what was your challenge?
I think he hesitated at the end there.
Yes, he did. I mean, it was going so well. I think it got carried away with the audience reaction, actually. But
I did like goodbye lift.
Haven't you never said goodbye to a lift?
No, have you?
Oh, yes, sometimes. I say goodnight to the cooker at night before I go up and say it's switched off. Goodnight, cooker.
And does the cooker talk back to you?
No, unfortunately, no.
Because that would be a sign of mental illness, wouldn't it?
But then my cooker is entirely sane. It hasn't got any...
I'm sure the cooker...
All right, who challenged? It was you, Tony. Right, so you have 39 seconds. High office starting now.
A high office is one that has been caught smoking cannabis, no question about that. But we won't go into that because it's been recently reclassified. However, I've never held high office myself, other than working for a while at Eastern Khayyam Carpets, where I had a lot of responsibility. But nevertheless, it couldn't really count as high office. Clement, on the other hand, was a Member of Parliament for some considerable time in his lifetime, and we admire him for that greatly. Nicholas Parsons in the middle here.
Oh, what a pity you've interrupted, Clement.
Repetition of time.
Yes, repetition
of time. In his
time
and his lifetime.
I know,
yes, but lifetime's one word.
Quite right, you said lifetime the first time, and this was time. Sorry, Clement, an incorrect challenge. 10 seconds, still with you, Tony, starting now.
If I had a high office, I would dangle a ladder from outside the window and go out that way. Then I wouldn't have to say goodbye to
and,
the lift.
And, poor challenged.
Well, it's very dangerous to just dangle a ladder out the window. You wanted it here on solid ground. It wouldn't be on solid ground, not dangling out of the window. It's very dangerous to dangle a window out.
I reserve the right to play with my own life in the way I see fit.
Well, health and safety issues are very important these days, but, well, if that's the way you want to do it, you do it.
Yeah, is there nothing wrong in saying that you dangle a ladder out of a window? It's a pretty ridiculous thing to do. But on the other hand, he might do ridiculous things. We don't know, do we?
No.
So I have to give him the benefit of the doubt on this occasion and say, 3 seconds. Tony, high office starting now.
Where is the highest office? Is it in the NatWest building?
Right. So, oh, I see we're moving into the final round. You are lovely, aren't you? Yes. So let me give you the situation as we go in. Dave Gorman is training a little, but he hasn't played the game as much as others. He's a few points behind Paul Merton, who's 1 point behind Clement Freud, and Clement is 2 or 3 points behind Tony Hawkes, who's now in the lead as we begin this last round. And Dave, it's back with you to start, and the subject is giant strides. Will you tell us something about giant strides in 60 seconds, if you can, starting now?
Someone who always took giant strides was Robert Wadlow, the tallest man to ever walk this earth. At about 8 feet and 11 inches, he was mentioned frequently by Roy Castle and Norris McWhirter on Record Breakers. His tailor was also very skilled at making giant strides, he had to be, for the aforementioned gentleman to wear them.
Dave, you challenged yourself.
Hesitation.
I was going to ask you a challenge. Well, actually, you're quite right. You did hesitate.
It was as clear as anything.
Yes, absolutely. So I suppose that you have to have a point because you did hesitate and you keep the subject. But all I can say is don't make a habit of this because you could ruin the whole process of the game. So, if you want to continue now, you have 39 seconds, giant strides, starting now.
Science and technology have been making giant strides in recent times. Whatever you think about cloning and the rest of it, it's no doubt about it that people are living longer, cars are safer, computers are getting more powerful and smaller. In other fields, for example, television, people are making giant strides, not necessarily...
And, you forgot to challenge yourself then.
Well, they did tell me not to.
Yeah.
Yes, but people don't always do what I tell them.
Your cooker does.
Tony.
Well, I would have let it go, but I thought I'd better challenge for hesitation before he did.
Oh, no. Well, what was your challenge this time?
Hesitation.
Yes, he did hesitate. Right. Do you have 23 seconds now, Tony, to tell us something about Giant Strides starting now?
Sting wrote about giant strides in a way in his song Walking on the Moon. Giant steps are what you take, he said. Whereas, in fact, you could take little steps if you were wearing bedroom slippers, for instance.
And Paul Challenge.
We had a couple of takes.
Yes,
take,
we did,
take.
Yes. Well done, Paul. Steps. 12 seconds available still on Giant Strides with you, Paul, starting now.
If you look at the early history of the cinema, you can see from about 1897 onwards, giant strides in the making of the motion picture. A director...
And Clement has challenged.
Deviation.
Why?
They weren't that big between...
Huge, huge. In 1897.
1897, huge strides.
Yeah, I think it's debatable, but on the other hand...
Is it debatable or is it bollocks? We just don't know.
It depends upon your interpretation of how rapidly the cinema moved forward. And I agree with you, and I think you have the benefit of the doubt, Paul, and you keep the subject, and you have 3 seconds on Giant Strides starting now.
The Beatles' first album and their seventh album have an enormous...
And Tony Challenge. Yes?
Repetition of album.
The album, yes.
Yeah.
So rapidly. And you've cleverly got in with half a second to go, Tony, on Giant Strides starting now.
Sir Winston Churchill.
So let me now give you the final situation. Dave Gorman, who's not played the game before, came from nowhere and finished in a very strong fourth place. But in third place, Clement Freud, but only 1 point behind Paul Merton, but 3 or 4 points ahead of them was Tony Hawk. So we say, Tony, this week you are our winner. So, it only remains for me to say thank you to these 4 fine players of the game. I also thank Trudy Stevens, who's helped me with the score, blown her whistle marvellously when the 60 seconds elapsed. We are grateful to our producer, Talusha Galani, and also we're indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this amazing game. And we're very grateful to this lovely audience here at the Radio Theatre in the heart of the Broadcasting House, who've cheered us on our way. From my audience here, from me, Nicholas Parsons, from the team, tune in the next time we play Just a Minute. Yeah! Thank you.